Lord, for your word of truth.
We thank you, Lord, that your word is a book that is open to us, Lord, and the Spirit of God is present to bring knowledge and revelation of the truth. Speak to us, I pray, Lord. Let us be hearing and have our eyes open to see. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, we're asking that question, are modern Bible versions dangerous? And in that question, you see around the word Bible, it's got those marks, those inverted comma marks, and you can see also that Bible, we have to challenge, are modern versions really true Bibles, or are they just using that name but in fact not God's Word? And that's what we're going to see tonight, that in fact they're not really the Word of God and they are dangerous. In Psalm 68 verse 11, we see, and if we turn in our King James Bibles, we'll see what the scripture says. Psalm 68 verse 11. Psalm 68:11 is a promise, and this is what God has done. It says in Psalm 68:11, the Lord gave the word, great was the company of those that published it. So God has given his word, and this settles for us immediately the question of whether or not God's word is present today. Because if God has given his word, what does that mean? It says the Lord gave the word, means if he gave it, means it must be present today. In fact, we see this in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 23 and 25. Let's look at that. 1 Peter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 23 and verse 25. And this is exactly how people get born again. How they get born again? Well, we know faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you have to hear the word of God to be born again. And in verse 23 of 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That's verse 23. Now, let's just think for a moment. We know in the parable of the sower that the sower sows the seeds and it's going into different kinds of ground, and as it goes into good ground, it's producing the harvest or the good amounts of fruit coming out of that. Just the same there, what we can see here is it says that that seed is the Word of God. And that's what Jesus said, the seed is the Word of God. And so it's not just any kind of seed. The word of God is here called incorruptible. It means it's a special kind of seed. It's not degenerating seed or seed that can't produce results. It's seed that produces results every time. Now, in the parable of the sower, and I'm only mentioning this because we should be familiar with that parable, we know that seeds work every time, don't they? If we put the seed onto rocky ground, what does the seed do? Does the seed not grow? Is the seed not able to do anything? Now what we find is the seed has within itself the power that it always wants to grow. It always wants to act. It always will germinate and act when it's in the environment for it to do so. So the problem isn't the seed, ever. The problem is the environment which the seed enters into. And this exactly applies with us. If we see that the Word of God is incorruptible, then that incorruptible seed coming to us is going to produce what kind of results? Limited, weak? No. It says incorruptible, which means it's powerful, isn't it? It's powerful enough as we receive it with that gladness and with that humble and with that honest and with that good ground heart. As we receive it with the right spirit, with our ears are being open to receive the word of truth, we're going to be producing good fruits from incorruptible seed. However, there's other kinds of seeds around. There's other kinds of things around which are not of God's word or are things that are against him. We know that. And we don't want to be grounds for those kind of seeds, the wrong weeds or tares, as Jesus called them, the tares. We don't want to be grounds for thistle and thorn spore. We don't want to be grounds for those kind of things. But we want to be grounds for the good, incorruptible seed. And It says here, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Now, is the Bible supposed to be lasting forever? Certainly is. And we read before that God gave the word, the Lord gave the word, and now we're seeing it's supposed to endure. It says it liveth and abideth forever. And verse 25, if we now look at that, it says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. So the same word that God has given the word, the Lord gave the word, the same word is supposed to last, it's supposed to be powerful, it's supposed to not have corruption entering into it, it's supposed to be producing the fruits of the word of God as God himself is watching over his own word to hasten it and to perform it. So we know that God is not giving a weak word, or that God, being the Almighty, has a word that's unlike himself, that is to say that has a different nature to God. If God is true, then his words are going to be true words. If God is Almighty, then his words are going to be mighty words. And so in the same way we see that today, therefore, the word of God must be present, true, right, incorrupt, and so on. And then in verse 25 it says, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So now we see, when the word of God comes to us, when we hear the gospel preached, when the word is preached, let's say on a Sunday in church or so on, that word of God is God's word. And it doesn't matter whether it was given first in Hebrew in the Old Testament times and now is in English, because we know that God has made sure that his word has lasted through history, and God is powerful enough to be able to get his word from Hebrew into English so that it can speak to the whole world today. And God is powerful enough to get the world to hear the word of God tomorrow. What we can see is that God is not limited, his word is not weak, and everything to do with this is about the gospel going forward, incorrupt, true, and therefore, of course, present with us today, holy. If we look in Isaiah 34:16, you'll see a statement here about that there is a finite form of the word of God, which means you can go and look at it. It's not, well, God's words are generally existing somewhere, or God's words are just in heaven, or God's words are just there in history, or God's words are just there in the original languages in old manuscripts that, you know, are mainly now, you know, inaccessible to us. Isaiah 34:16 shows very plainly that the word of God is available for us to be able to grab hold of. And there has to be a grabbing hold or a laying hold, because how is the word going to come in our heart and faith going to arise except it come from somewhere present to be able to get in there? In other words, if someone's going to preach the word would have to be present with that preacher. And if we're going to read the Bible today, we're going to have a present Bible with us to actually read. It's not a blank book or something that's just incorporeal, that is not existing, but it's something that's tangible that we can see and that we can hear and that we can read. It's something that's able to be touched tangibly and put into our hearts. Isaiah 34:16 says, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail, none shall want her mate, for my mouth it hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered them. So seek ye out of the book of the Lord. It's saying there's a book to look into, a book of the Lord to read, and that we read out of that book. So that's telling us we should read the Bible. It's not saying read multiple different translations and multiple different versions, and you'll get the truth by, you know, taking it all collectively. In fact, this narrows it down very clearly, in a prophetic sense. It narrows it down to, in fact, just being one book, which we can prophetically apply to mean that there's one version, there's one Bible for the world to look at. And, of course, we understand that would mean the King James Bible. And we would see that also if we look in 1 Corinthians 1:10, because in the church there should be an agreement as to believing one word. Now, it's really a witness against God to have Christian people using varying words and varying Bible translations and varying different things, when in fact God wants us to be together in unity and one. Of course, those people who are going to believe the King James Bible and believe that the Word of God is truly present with us in the King James Bible, we can be in a unity because we're going to believe the same book and we're going to be speaking the same thing. But as people are varying from that, they're really in the spirit that's not of Christian unity there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 10 you can see, it says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." That verse told us that we should speak the same thing. All speak the same thing. Well, if we're going to speak the same gospel, and if we're going to be speaking the same word of God, we can't be speaking different versions or different translations of the word. We'd have to agree, according to that other prophecy we just read about, having one book to read, and as we read before about having one present gospel with us, and that God has given his word and that it's settled. So we'd have to agree in one. Now, what are modern versions? We know the King James Bible came about in 1611, and we know that's historically been used by millions of Christians and throughout the history of Australia even. We know that Bible's been present from the very beginning of Australia to this present time. It's still present. But what are modern versions? Well, we'll find out now. Since 1880, over 120 new versions have appeared in English. They purport to be the Word of God or the Bible. They do all generally disagree. You know that. When you look at every verse in these versions, you'll find little differences or even big differences in words. All the way through, verse after verse after verse. So there's all these different Bibles, so-called, that aren't agreeing and have different words, verse after verse after verse after verse, all the way through. Heaps of different books like that. And also, they don't agree on what is actually the Word of God to translate from. That is, they differ on their underlying Greek or Hebrew text. And not only that, and by the way, if they differ on that, that means some of them will be missing verses, and some of them will be missing half bits of verses, and some of them will be adding things to verses as well. The other problem is, because they don't agree, they're all translating differently too. They might say the meaning of one word is one thing, and another one will say the meaning of that word is something else, and so the meaning is all changed and different between them. And of course, in modern times as well, they might talk about having the updated language, and also try to bring out new revelations or things in the Bible. And these ideas are completely contrary to the way the Spirit of God has operated, because God doesn't need people to bring out their ideas of what they think God really meant. What in fact we should be doing is turning to the true tradition and to what has God supplied to us when he gave his word, rather than trying to impose man-made ideas onto what man thinks the word of God should be. And that's in fact what we see modern versions are all about. They continually are revising and updating each other. They continually change and are completely uncertain as to what is the Word of God. They're uncertain, and so that comes through, because then they think, well, that last version was pretty good, but now we can update it and make it even better. So then we can ask a person, well, which one is the Word of God, or where is the Word of God, since the next one is changing the last one. And you'll find that maybe there was one new version, and then another newer version of that same version might come out that will be changed from the other version. And then we can ask the question, well, which one was the Word of God then? Because they're all changing each other and updating each other, and also in competition with each other, because it's about, as well, people getting together to make money by selling books. And that's a very human and earthly, worldly approach to be making variations on the Word of God and going away from the Word of God just so that you can make money by selling books and hopefully having people buy them, which of course has nothing to do with glorifying the Lord. Is all this dangerous? Are modern versions dangerous? Well, we can say certainly, yes, this whole area is very dangerous because it's going against the whole operation of God. Let's look in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 15 to verse 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 15 to 17. Because if there's a changing of God's word all the time and all these new books that are coming out, you can see it's going to be going right against what this scripture is talking about, as one example. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting from verse 15, it says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures." Well, if the word of God is apparently changing all the time and all the different versions in all the modern versions, then how can you know what the Holy Scriptures even are, or be certain of what the Holy Scriptures are? "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." Well, if there's a doubt of which word is inspired, and that's what modern versions continually are presenting, doubt as concerning which word is inspired, or what did God inspire? Do we have God's inspired word? Is it 99% available, the inspired word? How accurate is it? And so on. Then we're going right against the true doctrine, which is that God has supplied, verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. He inspired his word. It's come to us today through translation to us to have in one book, in the English Bible, the King James Bible. And that's very simply an explanation in line with the scripture. Rather than saying, well, we're not sure which word belongs, what the meanings of those words are, and that we'll probably have to update it anyway because, you know, half the translators got it wrong anyway, and so on. They're always doubting whether or not we can know what God's word actually is, and that makes the gospel much weaker. In fact, it's a very dangerous thing because you're going right against God's way of thinking there. Translation, what does that mean? Translation means bringing from one language into another language the meanings of the first language. So we have translation from Greek, the New Testament, translated into English. And that means that every word in the English Bible, in our King James Bible, every word that's in there belongs, and it's bringing out the exact meaning of the Greek words. So those words have come about deliberately to bring to us the exact meaning, the very sense of what God communicated when in the New Testament he was giving his word. So we can be sure that we have exactly God's message to us today. But you know, and if you look there in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 17, as one example, it says that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And do you know that modern translations, or some people would like to change the word "truly" there, because they say, well, you know, we can just update the language. Well, there's a change right there in the Word of God if they change that word "truly." Some might say, well, "truly," that's a word we don't use very often today. Maybe we should change that to "thoroughly." But by changing "thoroughly," we're changing meanings, because "truly" and "thoroughly" have two different meanings. "Truly" means through, out, in and out, and "thoroughly" just means thoroughly. So it has a slightly different meaning. If we change the meaning of words, just changing a word changes the meaning, then we're changing God's word, because God's word, when it says "truly," means a particular thing there. It means "truly." That's a small difference. Well, there's massively big differences when you look at modern versions. And if we look at Jeremiah chapter 14 verse 6, I'll just give you an illustration of one kind of difference you might find in translations. And there's many big differences. Jeremiah 14 verse 6. And I'll read it. It says, "And the wild asses did stand in the high places. They snuffed up the wind like dragons. Their eyes did fail because there was no grass." Okay, that's what we read in the King James Bible. But in the NIV, the New International Version, which is one of the modern versions, you know that because they don't like the word dragon, they have a different word there. And you know what word they put there? What statement they put there? Instead of the statement, as we read, snuffed up the wind like dragons, they put pant like jackals. Now, there's a big difference. Is the Bible talking about dragons or jackals? That's a big difference, because jackal is a very different animal to a dragon. And so what we find then is that there's all kinds of differences between modern translations, modern versions, and the King James Bible, and that they're very big differences. In fact, they get even bigger differences when it comes to things like the deity of Jesus Christ and so on. There's all kinds of differences, and they're very. It's very important for us to see that having those differences is a wrong thing to have, and that that's dangerous, because it's changing the word of God from dragon to jackal and so on. I'll quote from the beginning of the New International Version, and it says at the front, and this is what their statement is in the New International Version, which is a modern version. They said, "Like all translations of the Bible, made as they are by imperfect man, this one undoubtedly falls short of its goals." What they're saying is, well, we just tried our best anyway, but we know really it's failed. That's the view of modern versions. Modern versions are thinking we can only get near as possible to what God really meant and what God's words really are. They're never saying this is God's word exactly. They're always saying this is imperfect, but we're just trying our best anyway. Why would we want to have a book that's saying that the people who made it said this is imperfect? We would want a book that is showing us God's word directly and without imperfections, without corruptions, without guesses. We want to have that confidence in the word of God. And of course the King James Bible has that confidence with it, which is directly attacked by the modern translations. The modern translation said, "like all translations of the Bible." That's even a lie, because not all translations of the Bible are imperfect, because we have a perfect translation available to us. In Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19, it talks about having the words of God, and that we wouldn't want to be adding or taking away from those words. And I mentioned just in passing that we know that modern versions, various different ones, they take away references, for example, maybe to the blood of Christ, or maybe references to the lordship of Jesus Christ and so on. These things are not minor things, they're not small, and in fact they're actually dangerous, because they're coming against fundamental Christian doctrines. Revelation 22 verse 18 and 19 says, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book." So that's saying, if you add to the word of God, God adds to you curse. That's very simple. Add to the word of God, God adds to you curse. Alright? Verse 19. "And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." So if you take away from the Bible, God takes away you from the blessing. That's very simple. You add to the Bible, he adds the curse to you. You take away from the Bible, he takes you away from the blessing. That's just a simple way of saying that any changes to the Word of God, either adding or taking away, is dangerous. God does not look on it lightly, as you see here in verse 18 and 19. Notice that he said that are written in this book. He's talking about one book. He's not talking about in a view of, well, you know, the Bible's there in all modern translations and versions. We have to take them all, you know, because then we'll understand the full picture of God's message, because each one will bring out some different aspect of things, and so we'll understand the truth in a better way. You know, that's a lie. That's a lie, because how can all those contradicting words, when where verses say opposite things to each other between translations, and where there's all differences in whether or not a verse is present or missing between translations, then we can't have collectively the truth in modern translations, or modern translations plus the King James Bible. We can't have a collective truth like that. We have to have one book where the truth is laid out, you know, very plainly. The words are there, we receive them and walk with them and act based on that. So having differences, deletions and additions is very dangerous. So really, this whole idea of modern versions trying to correct the King James Bible, or for these people to say, well, we've got to add something that was missing there, or for people to take away and say, well, the translators in 1611 made an error, we've got to take that error out. Now, that's a very dangerous approach, because they're coming against the Word of God, and really they're coming against what God has supplied to the church for us. And to come against that is to go against the very nature of God's work. Well, then how has God supplied his word? Are they going to be saying, well, God has supplied his word to us in all the modern translations, which all differ to each other? They would say God is some kind of mad person, because God said something like that one day and said something like this another day, and that those two things contradict each other or are different to each other. That makes God into a madman, and God is not the author of confusion, as you would read in the scripture in 1 Corinthians. God doesn't is not behind bringing out different versions and translations and different sets of his word and so on. God is the God of one word, one unified word in the church. And you can see that it's consistent with having one God, you'd have one word. The God who is true would have a true word, and so on. It's very logical and easy to see. And as many scriptures we've seen already, which are consistently showing this and even prophetically showing this to us and how it relates to the King James Bible. And you know, the modern versions, they think, oh, God's word has mistakes in it, or what they think God's word is, has mistakes in it, and so they try and fix those mistakes. And you know, if you think there's mistakes in the Bible and you've got to fix them up in your new modern so-called Bible, then you're making a mistake right there. You know, you might say, well, this sounds like a contradiction, we've got to fix that up. Then right there, you're making a mistake. If you say, well, that's the way it's been written, but in fact we should make it like this, it'll be better, you're making a mistake. And that's a dangerous thing to do. And it's dangerous because if you add to the Word of God, God adds to you the curse. He adds to the plagues that are written in this book. And if you take away from the book of God, what happens? It says God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. So he makes this book the standard, doesn't he? This book. You can look at the lives of the translators and their doctrine. The difference between the King James Bible translators, who were, you know, the flower of the Reformation in the English church, and you can look at their learning and the things they stood for, and you compare that to the kind of people who are making the modern translations today. Today it's people in competition, people in pride, people who are in the money-making operation rather than submitting to the Word of God and receiving what God has supplied to them. That's a dangerous thing. If we look at 1 John chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, I'm going to illustrate now, and this is just an introductory kind of view of modern versions, but I'm going to illustrate to you how dangerous modern versions are. And when you look in the King James Bible at 1 John, that's 1 John chapter 5, verse 7 and 8, I'm going to read from the New International Version what those verses say in 1 John 5, verse 7 and 8. And in your King James Bible, read along and see what things are different, and then you'll see for yourself just how dangerous, for example, the New International Version is. But it's only an illustration of one modern version, because other modern versions will be exactly like this. I looked at the Revised Version and it had something quite similar as well, and the Revised Version was the vanguard of modern versions. The first modern version that really came in 1881 had a very similar thing to what the NIV has. If you look at 1 John, that's 1 John, the epistle, chapter 5, verse 7 and 8, I'm going to read from the NIV, so this is not actually what we would call the Bible. This is a corruption and a perversion, and I'll read it, and you'll see why it is a corruption version, perversion, why it is dangerous. Okay, ready? This is 1 John chapter 5, verses 7 and 8 from the New International Version, but you're reading the King James Bible to see what the Bible actually says while I say these words. Ready? For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are in agreement. That's what the New International Version says for verse 7 and verse 8 of 1 John chapter 5. Now, when I said that quote, what was missing? Well, a good portion of a verse at least was missing in the New International Version when I read it, wasn't there? Do you know, they deleted out a very important doctrine right there. They've taken out the words in verse 7 that say that there are three that bear record in heaven. They've taken out those words, and particularly these words they've taken out: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Now, is that an important Christian doctrine, do you think? Do you think it's important Christian doctrine to say the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one? How important is that for a Christian doctrine? It's a pretty fundamental Christian doctrine, isn't it? And yet we find in a dangerous modern version, just one example, as I said before, the Revised Version has a very similar thing to this, taking out a very important sentence out of the Word of God. That's a dangerous thing to do. Wouldn't you rather be using a Bible that doesn't have things missing or things added to it? Now, there's another modern version called the Amplified Version, and that adds all kinds of words to the Word of God. Very dangerous thing to do that as well. And I could give you some examples, but we won't, of some of the dangerous things it does in changing the Word of God. There's lots of examples, many, many examples of contradictions, errors, unscientific statements, many, many different ones. You can listen to other Victory Faith Centre sermons on the subject to show to you how dangerous modern Bible so-called versions are, that they are perversions, dangerous, very dangerous indeed, because they're changing the ideas of the Bible. And changing an idea, when you change a word, you change an idea, you're changing a doctrine. And even one slight little change, that's a dangerous and big thing. Let's look at Psalm 119, verse 140. And you could never say this about a modern version. There's just so much that could be said on this subject, but I'll just read a few verses to conclude tonight. Psalm 119, verse 140 says, "Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it." Well, if the word of God is very pure, you couldn't have little corruptions in there, could you? You couldn't have, "Well, we'll just swap around a few words here and there, it'll be alright." No, you couldn't have that. That wouldn't be very pure. It's a dangerous thing. How can you love anything that's not very pure? How can you love that? It doesn't make sense. I'll read a quote to you from the booklet that Victory Faith Centre has available called The Authorised King James Bible Connection by Pastor Craig Savage, and on page 4 it says, he wrote, "Something is tremendously wrong when we come to the plethora of contradictory, error-filled, quote, Bible, unquote, versions which have infiltrated the church today. How can anyone know which version to hide in their heart and not forget? How can anyone know what same word is meaning to be followed? The answer lies in realizing that history has always had a conspiratorial flavor to it, in that Satan has always conspired to destroy God's foundation of faith and truth, namely the Word of God." So we find who is behind the modern version operation. Satan, of course. Satan. So there's something wrong when modern versions are in the church. And what happens? Well, you have something like a Great Creation Ministry in Australia, who was using the King James Bible, turning away from the King James Bible into a modern version view. You know, some people can say, well, we've got a new version of the King James Bible. It's called the New King James Version, or we've got the 21st century King James Version, or the modern King James Version, only updates some old words. Well, do you know, changing even one word is changing God's Word. So that's a dangerous thing. So you have, for example, as I said, a creation ministry who might and has gone away from using the King James Bible. Do you think that's going to help their doctrine? Now we see, in fact, there's a demise. Things start to go down in their doctrine. They start to get things wrong. They start to hold to wrong ideas because they're going against God's Word just on the foundation. And as we know, a famous creationist said, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If we destroy our Bible version as the basis, then it allows Satan to bring in the corruption, and then the whole structure of our belief system, our Christian view, is then undermined and therefore becomes subject to change and apostasy. It's the same with people who in the Pentecostal movement, the faith preachers. Many of them were using the King James Bible until very recently. You can see an article talking about this on the internet. It's at the Wikipedia website, and if you look there, you look under the do a search for the words King James Bible only controversy. If you do a search for that, you can see an article about the King James Bible issue, and in that article it talks about how when a certain famous faith preacher died recently, how now the faith preaching movement, the Pentecostal movement generally, has gone away from using the King James Bible as the main version. And in line with that, you see that a doctrinal undermining has come in as well. It's directly connected. So as you get rid of the King James Bible as the foundation of your doctrine, you start to allow the manifestation of corruption in your doctrine, and soon you'll be right into a New Age kind of position where you'll be agreeing with the world, agreeing with false heretical groups and so on, and doing things out of the wrong basis, justifying sin or trying to make excuses for why things went wrong. And it becomes and is a very dangerous thing to do. But as we see ministries and people who stick with the King James Bible or turn to it, how much of a good thing that is. If we look in Acts chapter 19, verses 19 and 20, and so that's why we're encouraging people to get with the pure Word of God. And you know that in Victory Faith Centre we've got plenty of material available that's talking about the King James Bible in our sermons. And of course there's the website, www.bibleprotected.com. You can have a look there. Plenty of stuff from Victory Faith Centre there talking about the pure King James Bible and how good it is. If we look in Acts chapter 19, verses 19 and 20, we'll conclude with this scripture. Acts 19, 19 and 20. And you see, this is the modern version view versus the pure word view. Acts chapter 19, verse 19 says, "Many of them also," talking about in Ephesus, Many of them also, which used curious arts, now that's like magic and so on, used curious arts, brought their books together, what, to glorify them? No, it says, and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So in other words, this came to a great amount of money worth of books that they got rid of. Now, this illustrates to us the kind of view we should have of modern versions. Should we esteem them highly and keep them on our bookshelf as wonderful, different bringing out of the Word of God? Or should we see them as a very low thing? No matter even if it was an expensive book, we should count it as a very low thing. We want to get rid of those things out of our heart altogether. And as those Christians did with their magic books, they burnt them up before all men. It was a witness and testimony. Verse 20, this relates to our view of the King James Bible and what we believe. We link spiritually with this. This is what God uses us to do as well. It says in verse 20, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Praise the Lord, amen. Let's close with prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word of truth. Lord, that you've shown us that your word is exact and we should not be changing it around or doubting it or thinking that we can do anything to it other than that we should receive it and that we should study your word and that we'll become perfect in knowing your word, not the words of men, not what men think about your word, Lord, but what we think according to what your view is, the godly view. God, you hold your word up high, and so, Lord, we honour and glorify you, and we lift up your word as well. We fear your name, Lord, and we look to you for your instruction and for your wisdom, that by knowing the truth, you make us free. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.